the sky, gazing far into the night. I raise my hand to the fire, but it's no use, 'cause you can't stop it from shining through. It's true, baby, let the light shine through. If you believe it's true, baby, won't you let the light.
Amen. Are you ready to grab an oar? Isn't that amazing how that just works? I mean, all together in unison, and the strength and the speed of rowing together. We've been talking about it all month, just the power of together. And together is a whole lot better than alone. You know, you can be around a group of people, but still feel alone. How many times, I talk to pastors all the time, among the two top blue-collar jobs, or white-collar jobs, where the most depression and divorce and suicide rates, police officers and pastors. 91% of pastors in the ministry say that they are more depressed today than when they started out in ministry. 91%. I'm among the 9%. Because I don't feel alone, okay? But there are pastors who feel alone because I think as a church, we've gotten ourselves into this place where we allow people to float in church. What I mean by that is I think we should row or swim. We need to be active. Show me your faith by what you say. I'll show you my faith by what I do. Faith without works is dead. Jesus said the best way to do this is to go ahead and put your feet on the ground and start walking. Right now, what's amazing to me is what God is doing and how God just amazes me and how he does it. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. And I have to tell you, God still amazes me every day. It's an amazing thing. Are you amazed by God this morning? I woke up and just took some time and praying for you, praying for my family, just spending some time with God. And God just began speaking to me. And I was praying about something. And I had some worship music in the background. And I just started listening as I was praying, saying, God, would you help me with this? And the words of the worship song was exactly what I was praying about. Now, that's a small thing, but here's a big thing. Underneath this carpet, 8 years ago, when this was a warehouse and we kind of gutted this place of the warehouse junk and we set some chairs up and the few of us that were in here got dust all over our coats and our Bibles and the metal chairs that were here, there was nothing in this room. With 20 Sharpie markers, we wrote down promises of God in scriptures. We just took that Sunday service when this church began, and we began writing all over this place scriptures and prayer requests. You are standing on the promises and the prayer requests of the faithful of God. And here it is, 8 years later, God is answering those prayers. We're seeing those things in God's timing. And in his faithfulness, God is faithful. He has submitted his resume to us. I perused and examined God's resume. And can I tell you, I found that he is faithful in every category. And then I submitted my resume and found his grace was sufficient for my resume. And so the promise is 3 years ago, I'm going to go ahead and share this. I started sharing. I didn't share this in first service, but as we were talking, why are we doing this? Why are we grabbing an oar because of God's timing? Because everything, you are at a pivotal time in the history of the church. And you're at a pivotal time in the history of our church. And you're at a pivotal time in the history of the Blue Water area. I believe for such a time as this that God has raised us up. 3 years ago, God spoke to me and said, you need to go talk to the board. I went to the board. And then I came to you after I told the board something that I knew nothing about, but God told me to tell the board what I didn't know I was talking about. And then I came to the congregation and I said to you in March, almost 3 years ago, something that I didn't know I was talking about, and invited you to join me in something that I had no idea about. And it was this, 3 years ago, this December, November and December, God spoke to me and said, 3 years, 3 years, 3 years, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. 3 years, get ready. And I said, what? And then I began reading the book of Daniel. And in 1 Daniel, it said, he took Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, took them captive into Babylon, modern day Baghdad. Nebuchadnezzar took all these elite people that were of noble character and they could read and write. And he took these three young men, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and of course Daniel and some others, and he took them into captivity, and it said 3 years they were prepared before they could serve into the king's court. He prepared them for 3 years. I said, okay, Lord, I know it's 3 years. Now you've given me a scripture to confirm 3 years, but what? And he said, get ready, there's an ark you did not build. I said, okay. So we came to the board in January and said, hey, board, there's an ark we didn't build. What does that mean? I said, I don't know, but I think God's going to give us a building, a church. I don't know. I should say a building. We already have a church, a place of worship. And they said, well, is it going to be this conglomeration out here? I don't know. Is it Art Van's downtown? I don't know. Is it a warehouse in the industrial park? I don't know. Is it the mall? I don't know. Let's just leave it at that. I have no idea. And everybody's been, for 3 years now, speculating. Pastor, I think it's this. Pastor, I think it's this. God bless you. Give me $5 million and it'll be whatever you want it to be. But the Lord knows. And so I called, 2 years ago, I called the owners of this that bought it because this place has been belly up a couple times since we've been here. And God is faithful. We just keep expanding as they keep decreasing. Isn't that awesome? Because when you're walking with God, God's walking with you, and his faithfulness is sure. Okay, his resume is complete. So I'm going to share with you, 2 weeks ago I got a phone call from the management group, and they said, hey, I had to call them because we got a delinquency notice delivered by the janitor. And I go, why are you delivering? He goes, I don't know. They said they don't have your phone number. I said, how do they not have our phone number? They've been in our building 3 times taking photographs of their building, and they can't find us. I can tell you why it's going belly up, okay? They can't find a phone number to call our church. We get phone calls from people around the world saying, hey, we're listening to you online. So I'm sure the people that we pay every month could find a phone number. Anyway, so the janitor drops us off, says we're delinquent in all kinds of payments. We've never been delinquent in our life. I called the owner, and he said, oh, let me check with my financiers. That was a month ago. I haven't heard back. A few weeks ago, I'm talking to him. I said, hey, listen, we've never been delinquent. I don't know what's going on. Check with your book people, but what's going on? I said, listen, we'll do whatever you need us to do. If you need us out, we're out. If you need us here, we're here. He says, well, you guys are getting an awful good deal. You guys are in 28,000 square feet, and you're only paying a few thousand dollars a month. I said, I know. He says, and you have reverse Christmas down there. That's 20,000 square feet. And he says, and then you've got all this other stuff. I said, I know. If you want us out, just tell us. We'll move out. He goes, well, no, we just got to figure out how to do this. I can't tell the bank. I've got all this place rented, but I'm only getting $1.78 a square foot. I said, I can't tell that to your bank, but if you want us to move out, tell us. We'll move out tomorrow. We've had places offer for us to have worship services. I'm not worried about taking the tents up and moving in the wilderness, okay? Because God is faithful. He's not going to leave us in the wilderness without preparing a nice quail dinner at night and some manna in the morning. Okay, God is a good chef. I'm not concerned about taking care of his people. And so he said, oh, by the way, it doesn't really matter. That caught my attention. He said, we're going to file for bankruptcy anyway. Nobody knows this. Well, we need to know this. So now he can't say nobody knows this. I said, well, when are you going to do that? He said, by Christmas. I said, oh, well, I know I offered 2 years ago to buy, he's the management group. I said, I called Connecticut, talked to a guy, and one of the owners, the 5 owners. And I said, I talked to him. I offered him to buy this place 2 years ago. He goes, I'm curious, what did you offer him? I said, I offered him $300,000. He said, what did he say? I go, nothing. He never called me back. You got to understand, this is about 160 acres on an interstate. It goes from here all the way to the interstate, all the fields and the land, plus this whole mall all the way. So there's a lot of good stuff here. But he said, well, last year they listed it at $2.25 million. I said, okay, that's great. This year they've listed it down to $1.7 million. I said, well, you're going into bankruptcy. What are you hoping to get? He goes, we hope to get $1 million. We're getting so much closer to that $300,000. Not that we're going to buy this. Let me be clear here, because some of you are like, can I write a check? Yes, you can, by the way. Because people have been given for 3 years now to an ark that we've never seen. Could you imagine Noah building a boat? Saying, boys, you know what we're going to do over the next 100 years? What, Dad? We're building a boat. What's a boat? Well, it's never rained and we don't live near water. For what? We've never seen rain and we live in a wilderness. Trust me, boys, 100 years, we're going to build a boat. And they gave all their resources to something they had no idea about. You guys have been amazing, the giving to I don't know what. So here's what I want to say to you. Today, grab an oar. God laid on my heart this summer and says, get ready, get everybody on board. You are to train and equip the church for every good work. That's what makes a church the church. You are the servants as long as my wife and I say, we'll serve alongside of you, but we are not the only person on the football field. I am not the quarterback and also the center snapping to myself. And then I don't throw to myself as the receiver, and I'm not also the right tackle, the left defensive end. I am one person. I am the coach. You are the football team. You don't come to the big house and sit in the stadium. You got to get in the game. Amen? So you're the team. And guess what? When we have a good team and we have backup second string and third string and fourth string, guess what? I sign up and I go to the nursery and I don't just go there and I'm like, oh, I just got stuck with the four-year-olds every Sunday. No, we have four strings. Because we have an awesome team, and our kids are awesome, and they love it. We have all of these ministries and all of these things, and we're inviting you to get on board. I heard a story, and I got to share this as I close, and then I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to get on board. Because this summer, when the Lord was saying that to me, I said, Lord, I went through and wrote down, we're at about 40% of our people are involved actively in ministry. And the Lord said, so? I said, we're not the 80-20 rule, 80% of the people doing, or 80% of the work being done by 20% of the people. That's the big business conundrum. I said, okay, Lord, we'll get 80% of the people. How's that? And he said, no, that's biblically wrong, and that's not what my will is. And the Lord hit me hard. He says, if anyone calls grace their home, they ought to have an oar, 100%. He said, I don't know where the church got this idea that we can float idly. The Bible says, to be idle, you don't eat. You don't eat. And so I heard this story by John Piper. He said, last week, it's a true story about a guy named Robert and his wife, Glenda Lennon. They were 4 miles off the coast of Florida fishing from their yacht. Glenda decided to take a swim. And as soon as she found the current, she got into this current, it started taking her away from their yacht. Well, without even thinking about it, she's out there, she's crying for help. She's not a very good swimmer. So Robert, her husband, who was her husband hearing her cries without thinking, he dove in and he swam to her, but then he realized they were both being carried out. He was a champion swimmer, but not her. They made a plan. He can't get to her, right? They made a plan. He said, she should save her strength. He would swim against the tide and keep the boat in view until the tide ceased. And then he could reach the boat. She should save her strength and just float with the tide. And he would come and get her once he got to the boat. He fought the tide for 6 hours. And just as the boat was about to disappear on the horizon, the tide turned. And his strokes carried him to the boat, exhausted. And the sun set, and he searched all night, and it was futile. He never found his wife. The next day, before the sun set, they found his wife 20 miles out in the ocean, floating on her back, alive and well. True story. You know what's amazing about that? Sometimes we get in church thinking, hey, I'm still okay, though. I'm not drowning. I'm just floating. Can I tell you, if you float, the world and the things are going to take you to places you shouldn't be. We have got to swim. We have got to row. We have got to work diligently against the tides of this world. God didn't tell us to conform to the patterns of this world or the tides. He said be transformed and have a renewing. And we've got to grab an oar and we have got to row. And so if you've never gotten one of these, our ushers have these. I'm going to invite you to join us here in just about 2 minutes for the rest of our service. Today is grabbing an oar, And so here it is. This explains all of these incredible ministry opportunities. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. I had someone that, this lady told me in my last church, I asked her to get involved to be a Sunday school teacher. She said, "I'm not going to do that." I said, "You just seem like you're so spiritual. You've got it together. You know the Bible." She says, "I did that for 40 years. I'm done. Let someone else do it." And I thought, "You got 40 years of experience. Who better to teach than you?" She says, "I'm old. I'm done. I put my time in." My only thought was, "Jesus, take her home." I know, right? That was my true thought. I don't know if that's terrible or good. I think it's honestly good. "I don't have any more use here, Lord, to do anything for you, Lord." Well, then why wouldn't I want to be in heaven forever? Take her home. And I thought to myself, that's not fair. That's not fair. You said, "I'm not going to row anymore because I used to row." The storm's not over. Life isn't over. It doesn't matter how old, how young. We have a ministry for you. Whether you want to be in our joy ministry, our youth ministry, our children's ministry, you can be an usher or a greeter. We have these things. They'll have them if you never got one the last month that we've been doing this. This explains all of our ministry. We have prayer ministry Tuesday mornings right here praying for the church. We have a prayer team that does a prayer chain. We have altar workers. We have builders and construction. We have women's ministry and men's ministry. We have so many different things. We have a new ministry. We have people, Lassie broadcast and said, "Pastor, we love, when I was down at Notre Dame in South Bend, they said, at this broadcast, we would love to put you weekly on a broadcast to a billion people. We'd like to get your message out there. How can you do it?" We have all the equipment. We need camera operators. You could be a camera. You could be a tech. They're over there advertising, say, "Kate, come be on the tech. You get to shut the pastor's mic off every week." That place has been lined up. Here it is. In my family, my children, I love to cook at times. I love to cook breakfast. I love to cook breakfast. I love to make the omelets and the eggs, over easy, scramble. I don't care. Throw some onions in there, some mushrooms, some fruit. I just love to cook. Make some bacon, some honey-baked bacon, and get that going on the grill. I just love to cook breakfast. And my family knows it. It's like, if breakfast is going to be cooked, Dad's going to make it. I love to grill dinner. I love to make supper. I love to grill. I love to make some nice chicken, field-grazed chicken. Oh, my goodness. And some asparagus and just butter that up. I love to cook. Now, my kids come to me and say, "Dad, we love it that you cook. But just know this. You do all the cooking. We love it. Three meals a day. But we're not doing dishes. We will not do dishes. We hate dishes. We're not going to clean our plates. We're not going to pick up after ourselves. Dad, we don't like to do laundry. We want you to wash all of our clothes. By the way, we don't clean our rooms either. You pick up our rooms after us. We don't do the lawn. We don't mow. We don't weed whack. We don't do anything. In fact, Dad, once a month, we want you to throw a party for us at the pool. Make sure it's 72 degrees. And would you make sure it's all vacuumed up and it's cleaned up and get a bonfire going and some s'mores for our friends that are coming over, and we're not cleaning up the cups and the mess and the garbage afterwards or the towels, because that's what you do, Dad." And my kids say, "We don't do anything." I'm going to tell you right now, those are good words for a good smackdown upside the head for my kids. You discipline your kids your way. I send them to timeout. I believe in timeout. Absolutely. God bless you. I like them to sit there and think about the time out when I'm going to walk up those stairs for a smackdown. We have our timeout. I think clock is a great discipline. We have our rod and thy staff. They comfort me. We believe in that. But if my kids ever said to me, "Dad, we just want free stuff. We want to live here, and we aren't going to be a part of a single chore in this home," I'm telling you, I don't know how that flies in your house, but that's not going to fly in my house. You don't work, you don't eat. That's the way it works in my house. We've allowed the church to float and say, "Pastor, you do everything. You prepare the meal every Sunday, and it better be good. You make sure the music's good, the children's ministries are good, the nursery's good. You make sure it's all going on, and it's all good." And every so often have a hayride or a hoedown or a beach service. And you know what? We're so glad. And there are people who don't feel they're a part of this family. Can I let you know? If you're a part of this family, I know some of you are new. Some of you, you're a month old. Some of you are, maybe this is your first or second Sunday. Can I tell you, you're my guest. If you're my guest at my table, I'm not going to say in the kitchen, hey, you take out the garbage. Listen, we'll take care of the trash. You're my guest. I'd just like to invite you to come on over and pull a pamphlet and look at some of our ministries. We have folks, we've been working all month on this. We are preparing ourselves for the role of our lives. We are preparing to change our community and our world for the better from the blue water across Michigan and around the world. And we're inviting you to be a part of something great. God is answering his prayers. His timing and his work is faithful. Now I think it's us and our timing and our faithfulness. So if you want to be a part of that, we have a new ministry, a couple new ministries, our prayer ministry. Teachers, you won't find, if you want to teach, you won't find that over there. You just need to come talk to me because our teachers need to be qualified. They need to be seasoned. They need to be on board. So if you're a teacher, you come talk to me. We have a video ministry with Scott, and we just want you to know we're planning on starting this up and getting teams where you can get a Sunday on the cameras and this and switchboard, and you can learn how to do that. We had several in first service sign up, and I just want to let you know we have a place for you. Whether it's a judgment house, you can get involved in our house of judgment. That's a ministry that just happens in October. The whole church gets on board. Last year, 3,000 people got hell scared out of them. And at the end, they got Jesus, and they got the whole story right there. Reverse Christmas, we have fed tens and tens and tens. I think it's the number's like 26, I'm sorry, that's not close. I'm sorry. In the 6 years we've done 60, I said it wrong in first service. It's 64,000 people that we've fed. We've had over 12,000 children that we've helped get toys and Christmas. I mean, what a ministry. You can put an oar in there. Hospitality, our food bank, our food pantry. There are so many places. We're inviting you today to grab an oar and row with us for the rest of your life. Whether you're 85 or 15, there's a place that God has for you. If you're under 15, yes, you too. All right, let's pray. Would you stand with me? While you're standing, my ministry leaders, if you slip your way over there to the thing while we're praying, you can make your way first. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this is your call to us to leave our nets. Take up our cross. You called Matthew at lunchtime right out of his job. He walked right away from that CPA firm. You called Matthew, Mark. You called James and John. You called those guys and Andrew right out of their fishing business. Lord, call us. We're right here. Here am I. Send me. Lord, what can I do? I can do something to make a difference in the bride of Christ. We are the church. Thank you, Jesus, that we get a chance to fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. You can go right through these doors. Stop by the gift shop. You don't have to be a member to serve here at Grace. Just stop by, take a look, grab a pamphlet. I'm inviting everybody over. Take 5 minutes or take 15, but the rest of the service today is our faith in action right through those doors. God bless you. Look forward to talking to you next door.